Good evening and welcome to Early Late Nights, the Explosion Network's esports news show right here on twitch.tv/explosionnetwork every Tuesday and Friday night at 6:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. And I'm your host, Kieran Marchin. Welcome. I hope you've had a good day. I've had a pretty good day. I've had a good start to my week. I cannot complain so far. Gaming's been good. Work's been good. Esports has been pretty damn good. Some interesting news coming up in throughout today's show, so I'm pretty excited to talk about it, explain it, give you some of my thoughts, and hopefully hear some of yours throughout the show. It's Tuesday. I didn't think much would happen in the last couple of days since the last show, but a whole bunch has really come out and fallen into play. Overwatch League's final team or franchise was announced as Washington Justice. They've got that whole Stars and Stripes kind of thing going on for them that actually looks pretty cool, and I actually really like the skins. For many people, Washington Justice makes a lot of sense. Justice, Washington being in the capital of America, as well as a lot of the judiciary system that flows around Washington. So it's a good name. I can't wait to hear their roster announcement in full. We're going to be talking about the other franchise that recently announced their name, the Vancouver team. We're going to be talking about that team towards the end of the show, as well as the roster that they brought to the table for the coming season of Overwatch League. If you want to hear more of me, or if you ever want to hear more good gaming content for the Explosion Network, make sure you check out Arcade Couch. It's the show that goes live every Saturday at 6 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. It's not a live show, it's just more of a podcast where some of us from the Explosion Network get together, talk about games, talk about the latest. If you go back and watch the recent episode, we go over the Australian Video Games Awards with our nomination, well, not really nominations, but rather our thoughts about the nominations that were put up by that team of people. And I get quite mad. I get quite angry with the esports. And it's not something I even want to address here on Early Late Nights. Go over and check that out. Listen to my thoughts on the Australian Logies, esports Logies, video games Logies. Yeah, it's pretty much the Logies for video games. It's, you know, let's be honest, everybody. But what's been put together in the nominations that have been put together have really led. So make sure you remember, if you want to get, you know, maybe a more down to earth or a more close to the target kind of thought process on some of the best moments in esports this year, make sure you tune in to our hour long episode on the 18th of December. I'm going to be doing an hour long final episode for the year where we go over the top esports news for 2018. We're going to be going over some of the best moments, some of the best players, some of the best plays, and the best video game for esports of the year that I'm going to try and not be too biased over. And you're probably going to think I'm biased eventually, but whatever. But yeah, that's going to be a fantastic show, and I'm really excited to go through and have some fun with that one. If you're in Melbourne this weekend, make sure you stop by the exhibition center where the Dota 2 Pro League is going to be happening. Sir Action Slacks, the host of the event, is incredibly excited. Make sure you go over to his channel on YouTube, Sir Action Slacks. Check out his vlog video of the life and why he's so excited to be in Australia. I thought it was really funny to watch. And he's a fantastic personality to be part of the Dota 2 scene. So I am pretty excited for his involvement in the coming Dota 2 tournament. I've already yelled about the video game awards in the Arcade Couch. I write notes for the show, and I wrote a note that I'm kind of like, I've covered you already, mister. I've covered you already. Already. Oh, well. Get over it. And also, congratulations to Astralis, the Counter-Strike Go team. Oh my god. Somebody probably thinks I have some kind of illness. The Counter-Strike Global Offensive team have locked in another sponsor with Unibet Australia. Locking in and getting a sponsor on that organization. It's always really interesting how any sports or competitive event, you'll quickly find a gambling or betting institution coming along with it. Even though betting itself and gambling is a risk to many people, and I never really suggest getting too much involved with it, they are really good supporters at sports and esports and everything. So it's like the evil you know, and I guess. So it's interesting their involvement, especially being a pretty reliable betting site. So we'll see them more and more coming up with their Unibet sponsor with Astralis in the coming for IEM and the build up to that in the CSGO world. Tonight's episode, I'm going to be talking about Artifact once again, and after a week of its release, what exactly is the outcome of its marketplace so far, and how the marketplace and its economy is affecting players who are playing the game. We're going to be looking into the up-and-coming Chinese Dota 2 major and the catastrophe that is happening with that at the moment. There is a lot of issues going on there, so got to make sure we're going to keep up with that, give you the latest news on that event, as well as Counter-Strike is getting a teaser from the devs about some new stuff going on behind the scenes and what we could be seeing as soon as tomorrow. So I'm excited to see that, as well as going over the Vancouver Titans and their roster and going in behind a little bit behind the thought process of hiring a roster and selecting a roster for a team, especially when it comes to South Korean players, and why most teams are turning to the place of South Korea for their gamers. So let's kick right off. Let's not waste any more time. Let's jump right in with some Artifact news. I've got a Stream Deck. I don't know why. I went to my mouse. I don't need to go to the mouse anymore. I've got this wonderful Stream Deck. Artifact is the Dota 2 card game that's recently been released by Valve. In a very interesting fashion, the game, as we know, costs $27 Australian. If you want to buy it, pick it up. You get a couple free decks with the game, as well as 10 free booster packs. After that, it's interesting that players learn to players... caused a bit of a ruckus about this when it was initially announced. There is no in-game currency system or in-game kind of progression system that's going to lead to more booster packs or more cards. This means unless you're going into drafts, which cost money or, you know, cost tickets, there or other events that give booster packs as prizes, there is limited amounts of ways of getting it in-game, and it's more classed around buying booster packs or buying individual cards with real-world money. And many people have been astonished by this. We are in an age where the card game genre, especially digital card games, has been kind of laid down by these free-to-play games, with Hearthstone, you know, kind of taking the reins over the last couple of years, in games like Gwent, with this free-to-play model that players can earn in-game currency or in-game kind of products to actually be able to get cards without actually spending any of their real money. It just requires a bit of hard work. And for many people, it's really interesting. For many people, it's really different to see people kind of come together and look at this problem. But the Artifact market is currently in a fantastic position. It is really well put together. The cards are coming out at a valuable price. At the moment, the central card of the market is the Hero Axe, who comes in red, who comes with some starting, you know, some amazing starting stats, as well as coming through as a really useful early game hero. He's costing about $21 Australian at the moment if you just want to buy Axe. But most cards at the moment are sitting between the 40 cents to $2 mark, which is quite reasonable. There's been some stats already put together by the community to work out how much it would probably cost if you were to buy the whole card set. So currently the current set is 310 cards. It would work out to be about $300, $300, $400 if you were going to go out and buy the whole set, which is pretty reasonable, actually. It's, other card games, if you were to try and buy a whole set of Hearthstone, it's a fairly difficult task because you're having to buy multiples and multiples of booster packs where you could get duplicates in those booster packs. And then you do use those duplicates to turn into dust, but it's a bit of a more complex system to be able to build a full set of cards for a set that's been released. So it's really interesting. Players are now putting together and it's being worked out. If you're not if you're wanting to build yourself a top tier deck, it's going to be about $30 to $40 in Artifact, and it's really interesting. I think regular standard TCGs players are very into this already, because if you were to go in your local game store and buy Magic cards, you could buy Magic cards or go online and buy Magic cards. You could buy boosters, you could buy a whole booster box. You could, if you wanted, find a deck list, either build the deck list online, play around with it a bit online, maybe play with some spare cards and pretend they're the real cards. Play around with it, and then you can buy the entire deck. You can just go and buy the entire deck. You might have to search for some cards in different stores, but you can buy the entire deck one card at a time. And that is fantastic. And it really helps those, like myself. When I initially started playing Magic the Gathering, I was a booster box boy. I used to buy a lot of boosters. I used to have stacks of boxes everywhere. And I would just have all these leftover cards for like no reason. And the difference maker in that is that I would get all these leftover cards. And then once I started becoming, you know, understanding the game about it, I just realized I should just buy the cards I need. Like, I should honestly just buy boosters when the set first comes out. But, you know, buy those cards that you want to require. Make up a deck. Don't have hundreds and thousands. I am the kid who played Pokemon and didn't think got to catch them all. I thought, catch one that I really like, train him up so he is buff, and get them to flex on the enemies. And it worked all the time. Me and my Squirtle would be buff as... I used to get to, like, the Rock Gym, which is the first gym in Pokemon. I used to have, like, level 20, too easy. Level 20 before I even got there, but you don't want to hear that. Artifact is in a really interesting spot. We're coming to the part where the initial Steam backlash was crazy. All those people that really like free-to-play or really enjoy buying boosters with in-game currency. It seems to have kind of subsided to players that are actually interested in this system, interested in investing some money into the game, and getting behind a Dota 2 card game. Is quite interesting. I think it's a really good idea if you want to go in and invest in a deck that you want to play, you have the cards, let's you go buy the cards, you just go take it out. And I think that's what makes it really good compared to Hearthstone. Hearthstone has its market. Hearthstone has its users that are currently involved with the game, that currently have those sets of cards. But, you know, this is a good starting place. If you get into Artifact now, work your best and do your best to get as many of the cards as you can, because it then resorts to later down the track when the new set comes out, you can prepare to complete that one. You know, I've tried to go back to Hearthstone, and there's just too many cards to go back to and try and get, or what do I need, or what do I want to collect, which card packs do I need to buy? It's all over the shop. So it's a really interesting and really good start for the economic economy of Artifact. It's a really good position for Valve to be in with the game. I hope they continue to support it and bring more game modes in. I think eventually there will be some kind of in-game currency that'll be used for the older sets. I don't think the current set will be used as it is with in-game currency, but we'll also have bits and pieces kind of happen with more and more players coming through, trading cards. Cards will lessen in value once they get nerfed. They'll raise in value. It's going to be a really fun game to get involved with and really play the markets with. So I hope you invest in it. I'm having some fun with Artifact in the couple hours I've played. So let's see where it goes and see what esports scene it brews up from it. Now, Dota 2 has this amazing major system. Majors and minors that each teams or teams across the world are available to qualify for, play in, and then earn points towards kind of securing their spot in the International 2019. And the recent major in China is coming up in early January. And this has been marred by some kind of not so great circumstances, to be perfectly honest. Qualifiers have already begun with European qualifiers with teams such as Team Liquid, really kind of coming through and bringing out the best in the situation, have played through and qualified for the event already. But what we've seen is the Chinese government found an interest with issues taking place around a player from TNC. They are a Filipino team, I believe, off the top of my head, from the C region. One of their players, Carlo Cucu Palid, recently got involved with the event with a recent kind of, I guess it was almost an overall problem of, you know, like he, in a recent game that was live streamed, he used a racist kind of gesture towards Chinese people in the stream, and that was shown. He's come out and apologized for it. TNC have already said that his cut from the Kuala Lumpur major has been taken, half of that has been taken back from him, as well as half of the money from the up-and-coming Chinese major has been removed from his pocket already if he were to attend the event. Now, the Chinese government have come in and have stated that they want this player, as well as another player from the Complexity roster, banned from the event, and that they should not be able to attend the event or attend the Chinese region. Now, this has been an interesting one already, with many people already having issues with how the Chinese government's getting involved, how people from Valve are getting involved or not getting involved. It's a little bit all over the place, but we're in an interesting, you know, area when it comes to Dota 2 and where it's entering. Now, the Chinese government have said they cannot have this player. They do not want this player, and it is officially banned this player, saying that if these players attend the tournament, they will stop the whole event. The whole event will be. So, it's not an official banning yet by Valve. Valve hasn't got involved, but the Chinese government have put this ultimatum in place that, you know, this whole event could be brought down. And for something like, you know, something a player has already come out and apologized for, they have already been punished for that. It's interesting that the Chinese government is getting involved here. Now, the current situation is that the players are banned, but on top of this banning, casters have now come out and personalities for the event have come forward and said that they are not interested in being part of this event if these players are going to be banned. This involves Grant Grant, Gods, the Australian caster and analyst and co-founder of Beyond the Summit, as well as Admiral Bulldog, and if called to replace the hosting position, Red Eye will not be a part of it. Now, it's really good that these casters and personalities have band together to stand up for what's happening right now. It's, you know, China is a place that is governed a lot differently than most of the world. We all understand that. But to be put in this position where one player is being punished so badly because of a mistake they made, no matter how stupid they are, it's putting a whole event in order. Valve is yet to comment. Valve is meant yet to make any moves when it comes to this event or these proceedings. And now what's interesting for me is the fact that recently in the last week, Valve has opened up their Steam version of Steam in China. With the store going live, they've started to make more movements and more progress in the Chinese area and the Chinese markets. Now, what are they going to do? Are they going to, you know, keep going with this event despite losing personalities and casters to, you know, satisfy the Chinese government and continue their working relationship building, you know, steadily and happily? Or are they going to be moving the major to another location to kind of, you know, throw in some support? As far as I can see, Valve are going to be sticking in the China region for this major. I don't think it's going to be moved. These players aren't going to be able to attend. The organizers have said that at the moment, like in the communication with TNC, that the players aren't officially banned, but the organization cannot guarantee the safety of the players, which is, you know, if I was these players, would be a terrifying position to be in. And not a very fun place to be. We'll keep an eye out for more Dota 2 news with the major coming up. Congratulations to Team Liquid once again for already qualifying for the event in the European qualifiers. Make sure you stay tuned for all the latest Dota qualifiers and Dota 2 news right here on Early Late Nights. And we're going to move on through. Going to move on ahead to Counter-Strike Global Offense. Civ. Offensive? Offensive. Which, in many cases, is one of the largest esports in the world because of how easy it is for people to get into, pick up, and enjoy. It has simple game mechanics that has a complexity that makes amazing plays be understandable for all, you know, people of all skill levels, but also a very developed scene with a range of characters, a range of teams and organizations, and ESL do a fantastic job of presenting Counter-Strike. Now, Counter-Strike has been out for several years now. By several, I mean almost 10, getting closer to the 10-year mark now for the game. It's been 1 year since the last major operation happened for the event. That was Operation Hydra, which happened in May last year. And Valve hasn't really done too much with Counter-Strike since then. The event system has kept going. Counter-Strike is still holding its player base. It is still a widely used game, but Valve hasn't been incorporating. That was until recently the Valve account, or the Twitter account for Counter-Strike, CSGO_dev, tweeted out, "What are you doing Wednesday?" So that means hopefully hinting at tomorrow being an announcement that will involve Counter-Strike. Now, what could this mean? This could mean a new operation with a new map. There has been leaks suggesting a new game mode called Survival with a new map called Blackside. or Black Sight, even. Not the D, the T. Black Sight. Being announced possibly in the game's code. Now, players and those that dig through source code have already found the Black Sight reference before, as well as the survival game mode. Now, with games like PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, Fortnite, and the more recent Call of Duty Black Ops 4's Blackout mode, would it be possible that Counter-Strike is looking at getting involved with the Battle Royale mode? I'd be surprised. I don't think the Battle Royale mode is a good fit for the Counter-Strike gameplay, but it's an interesting place to be and an interesting place to pull through. We don't seem to be in the, you know, we don't seem to be losing too much steam for it, so... losing too much steam. It's on Steam. Everybody can't lose steam. But what it could also mean is that we also might be having CSGO or a new Counter-Strike game coming forward on the Source 2 engine. Now, the engine that the current game has been running on is passable, but not the greatest, not the best, not the most reliable. So upgrading it to that Source 2 engine will allow for better graphics, better gameplay, and more tweaking and possibilities for the devs coming forward. Now, with the survival mode possibility, it would be interesting to see a Battle Royale mode come out. With that Call of Duty Battle Royale Blackout, it's been fantastic for the game series. Blackout has done really well at bringing players that might have been on the verge of leaving the Call of Duty series and franchise, and really kind of bringing life to that game overall. So I'm interested to see what Valve can do with the Battle Royale mode. Part of me doesn't really want there to be a Battle Royale mode in Counter-Strike. It would be nice if they avoided the flavor of the year or the flavors of the next couple years, but we'll see that coming forward. Hopefully is a new operation with a new map type, or not a map type, but a new map in general would be really nice to shake up the overall gameplay and shake up the esports scene already. And hopefully Valve has got plans in place to continue this support with either more developments or a brand new game for the future of Counter-Strike. It's only what we can hope, right? Now, speaking of new things, developing, you know, bringing on new events, new teams. One of the latest new teams in the Overwatch League is the Vancouver Titans, the Chewbaccas, the Chupacabras, the Bigfoots, almost, you could say. And it's been interesting to see this team come together. It's interesting, there's been some comments about the blue, green, and white kind of color scheme. Some people not liking it, some people being fans of it. I actually really like it. I really like the logo design with that Bigfoot kind of Yeti creature on the front. I think it looks really cool, but it's not about the coolness at all. Not really. But what we also are seeing is that the Vancouver Titans announced their roster, which is another Korean roster in the Overwatch League. We already have teams such as the New York Excel and the London Spitfire being teams predominantly built up of South Korean players. And I know many people are probably looking at the teams or looking at the event going, well, I like, I'm from Vancouver, but like, why isn't there a Canadian playing on the team? Why isn't there an American playing on the team? And some people are so focused and so concentrated on the countries that, or the locations that these teams are coming from. You have to treat it much similar to a system from like the European Premier League or the old, you know, whereas teams are playing to be the best possible team. They're not playing to represent their country, their town, or their country, really. It's more, they're getting the best possible players. Now, you're probably going to say, yeah, but there's good players in America, there's good players in Canada, there's good players in right here and down under Australia. Yeah, there are. But South Korea is in such a place in the current esports history that it is hard to deny that they are one of the central locations for esport talent in the world. And that's because of a couple things. And one thing for the team and building a team is you're wanting to build a team that isn't going to have any problems such as language barriers. There's not going to be any communication difficulties if you pick a roster that is the similar nationality or all the same nationality. Now, South Korea is the... No more accents, please. My God. Look, it was all right. That was a good Australian accent. But what we've come through for is now with the South Korean roster is South Korea is such an interesting place when it comes to esports, when it comes to the event as a whole, or the industry as a whole, because South Korea, since the early days of esports, have been so accepting of esports. They have brought in new players, not brought in new players, but they have accepted and brought esports into their culture. Video games are an accepted hobby, they're an accepted sport and professional, and like a profession. Esports is okay to work at. Whereas many countries, Australia included, US is getting there, not to that point where they see video games as a potential job and money maker. They don't. Whereas South Korea has been putting stadiums on for their esports events. They've been having huge crowd fests already for many, many years. And like, interesting minor anecdote was the story that was once told about the South Korean soccer team. South Korea's soccer team were preparing to play in the World Cup, and they actually brought in a legendary StarCraft II player to inspire the South Korean soccer team, to bring them up, because the South Korean soccer team were such fans of StarCraft and this player's work. And now if you look at that in Australia, if you had the Australian, like an AFL team, we all know about Australian AFL teams when it comes to esports, it's not a good position already. You know, we can't imagine that kind of support, that kind of interest in the game, to really be coming now at this point. And that's why these rosters are being picked up of purely South Korean teams. Because South Korea is so supportive, they have cultivated and brought to the top the best possible players and actually motivate their teams and their players to actually build to be the best possible players. That's why when you watch Korean contenders, they are insane. They're really good. And I'm not saying, well, you know, it's not something in the water. It's just literally because kids are brought up playing these games. Kids are brought up being told that playing games is an okay way to spend your time. It's a good way to spend your time. It is a supported cultural thing, I guess. And that's really good. So if you're ever worried about seeing your team or seeing an Overwatch League team being filled with one kind of nationality, there are several reasons for it. It's building up the player base. It might be a communicational thing. It might be just because the culture of that, you know, that originating country is better, and it's better in its infrastructure. Australia has such a hard time, as many of you probably already know, with cultivating or being able to show the talent that we have due to our internet problems, our infrastructure, and just how bloody far away we are. This Dota 2 tournament happening over the weekend in Melbourne is the first big Dota 2 tournament I can think of happening in this country. The first time I've seen some of these big names coming to Australia to play Dota 2. IEM in Sydney was part of that culture change. We already had that. We've had the Melbourne Esports Open. We are on the trail to getting into a better esports future in Australia. It's just going to take some time. It's going to take a fair bit of money from the federal government. But we're getting there. And that's all we can hope for and all that we can be happy with. You know, no reason getting down on your internet. That's all I can say. Thank you very much for joining me on Early Late Nights on this fine Tuesday evening. We come to you live every single Tuesday and Friday at 6:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time, to bring you the latest Australian and around the world esports news. If you can't be here live for the show to chat, please make sure that you go to either youtube.com/explosionnetwork, explosionnetwork.com, or any good podcasting services 24 hours later at 7 p.m. on the Wednesday and the Saturday to get the video on demand or audio only podcast for the show. Listen to my voice and listen to the news as you want, when you want. It's a fantastic service. Now, if you're watching right now, please, or watching anytime on Twitch, please give us a follow, give us your support. Make sure you hit the notification so you know when we go live with our whole range of video gaming and pop culture news shows, or just shows in general. Make sure you follow us and subscribe to us on that youtube.com/explosionnetwork. If you're on a podcast site, go 5 stars, Kieran, top bloke, good esports news. That's what we'd like to see, and it would be really great to have your support in the upcoming new year, and it's going to be fantastic. Make sure you put it in your diary. December 18th is going to be the end of year early late night show, where we go over top five, some best esports of the year, as well as all the latest news in an hour long show. And thank you very much for joining me. I hope you have a good night. Hope you have a good couple of days playing. Make sure you tune in on Friday for another great episode of the show. Once again, don't be toxic. Play the game to the best of your ability. And remember, always say GG.
Hey there, dear listeners. Are you aware that the Explosion Network has a brand new video game podcast? You're not? Well, it's called Arcade Couch and it is available now. We kicked it off at PAX 2018 by recording the first episode right there and then, and now it is releasing every Saturday at 6 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. Go ahead and download it now on your favorite podcasting service. Simply search for Arcade Couch, search for Explosion Network, whatever, however you want to go about it, find it, subscribe to it. Grab your friends' phones, subscribe to it, check it out. Check out the first episode, live from PAX. Check out the second episode, live from our usual recording booths. But just check it out.